Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brookin and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. Season 7, episode 34. And good evening to you, George. Where are you and what are you doing?
I am in my bedroom recording a podcast.
Excellent. And tonight, we welcome back. Oh, no, it was George we were welcoming back. Because how are your legs? Are they nice and smooth from last week?
I've got no idea what you're talking about.
You obviously didn't listen. That's terrible.
He did listen. He's making a joke. And John, ever present. He wasn't present at the game last night, but he'll tell us why. Welcome back, John.
Oh, thank you.
Where are you and what are you doing?
I'm in my loft recording a podcast too.
We've got no Nigel at the moment, but he might join us later. Apparently he's been working for a living this week, which will make a change. Or he's probably having some kind of beauty treatment. What kind of beauty treatment would Nige have, George? Do you know?
Highlights, I think, would go well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not a wax, sack and crack? I know what that is.
I think it's back, sack and crack.
Sack and crack, maybe.
Well, you seem to know a lot about it, John. Anyway, it's not a beauty podcast. It is a football podcast. And we did play against the mighty Stoke yesterday. John was due to go. So let's start talking to John. Because, John, you were all set to go because you love those nights under the lights at the London Stadium.
I do.
What happened?
The atmosphere.
What happened?
Well, it's basically down to Ford, really.
Oh.
Yeah, they took in my work vehicle for its inspection because it's a two-year-old Ford. And it's been problematic, so they took it in again. And they gave me a hire car or a loan vehicle and told me my one to pick up would be ready at about between 5 and half 5. So that was all the excuse I needed not to come. So I put my ticket on the trader, and that was that.
Did it sell?
It did sell, yeah. Was there no one in my seat then?
No, there wasn't, no. That happens quite a lot where there's no one in the seat when you sell it on Ticket Trader.
Yeah.
Just get in the area, isn't it, I suppose?
One last question, and then we'll talk to Late Man in his shed. Is your van white? Are you a white van man?
It's silver.
Ah. But silver is a new white.
Yeah, probably. It's a silver Transit. 2 years old, and it's gone wrong about 4 times. So, there you go.
And we welcome very late.
Hold up.
We welcome very late. I don't care if you say hold up. You only have one job, Nigel, and that was to be on time. You said, and I quote, when we said we're recalled at 7:30, you went, can you make it 8 o'clock? I said,
is it 8 o'clock?
It's 14 minutes past eight.
Well, still eight, isn't it?
Oh, dear. Wouldn't like to go out for a date with you.
It's not really.
What do you want me to say? Fucking hell. Sorry. Please forgive me. I won't let you down again.
All right, you are forgiven. Governor.
I've only had like a week's work for the first time in 7 weeks.
Well, we were saying that just before you joined. I said it makes a change for you working.
There you go. So
where are you? What are you doing, Nigel?
I'm in my shed, stressing about being late with yous.
Yous?
Yeah. don't fucking start on my accent, I tell you. Oh, he's got a new toilet. Oh, fine, it was like a friend.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the football. We're going to start with John. So, John, you watched this riveting. We all were giving put West Ham down for a win. I said my normal 1-0. I think most of you had gone for more ambitious 3-1 and 2-1 and everything. You were watching from your armchair on Sky, because every game's on Sky now. Give us your overview from the game from your armchair first, John, before we move on to the boys.
Well, first of all, I was disappointed at the starting lineup. I thought we had a bit of momentum from the two previous, the Southampton and Chelsea game. I thought we had a bit of spark about us, even at the Chelsea game, which we would have sort of saw the last sort of 15, 20 minutes. We looked quite a good attacking force. And I thought, seems that we were playing the team near enough in the bottom of the league, who hasn't had an away win since October, that we really could do with a win, that we would have gone for them. And I was really disappointed at the starting lineup. I thought Fernandes shouldn't have been there, at least Fernandes starting. And I thought we could have gone for it. But, you know, we obviously didn't. And the first half, I've got nothing really to say about. And the second
half, you can tell us probably better than we can, because we were there and didn't have the replays. Obviously, some contentious decisions. We had 3 goals ruled offside and a penalty shout turned down. How did you see the two offside? So you're talking about Fernandes putting in the goal, but
Arnautović, I would say they didn't show it. Arnautović didn't, the header for the first one, and Arnautović, they didn't show it dead in line. But the way where they sort of pulled a line, which was just from behind him, it looked like he was in front. But they didn't, okay, they didn't really go into it too greatly, to be honest, that as an offside.
And the second said, disallowed goal, trying to remember.
Yeah, which was the Fernandes.
Fernandes shot outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was Arnautović was just bloody lazy coming out of the box. He was just strolling out of the box and then just lifted his leg up and was trying to find the keeper. So, basically... Is that you, Sean?
That's my son asking. Yeah, because I've got the kids tonight.
That was offside. And the only thing I would say was debatable was the Andy Carroll one, really, was because he was sort of like, it did hit his arm, but was it ball to hand? But again, they didn't really go into it greatly. Or they might have
and the penalty shout, he was all being, you know, mishandled by that Stoke bloke. What was his name?
I've seen them given.
Yeah.
I have seen them given, but again, it wasn't. But before that, Hernandez tried to win one. He just backed into some bloke and fell over. Yeah. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Did you think you had your value for money watching on Sky, or did you nod off from time to time?
It was a very dour watch. It was really bad. The atmosphere came across as zero. I know you've said it wasn't that bad, but
it wasn't.
Came across as zero. As I was saying to you, like, you could actually hear what the players were saying to the.
They were even singing Up in the Gods, where I spent a little bit of the half time more of that later.
It was no better or worse than any other game.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's move to George, because he was there ever present in 1-1-3.
Hi.
With the West Ham faithful standing up. How was it for you, George?
I think I'd agree on the starting lineup. I was disappointed not to see Hernandes starting. You know, it was a game that I thought we should be going for the win. And like John said, we had a bit of momentum from the end of the Chelsea match that I thought we could have carried on. So from the get-go, I was a little bit disappointed and didn't get much better, really. I think I I haven't seen the replays of the disallowed goals, and obviously we were from up the other end, so I was disappointed to see them disallowed, but you know, sounds like they probably should have been. And I think, yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, really. Feels a bit like a loss, because I think a win there would have kept us up or made us feel a lot more comfortable. And we didn't take the opportunity and sort of threw it away, almost literally in Joe Hart's case.
Well, without Andy Carroll, we would have felt a lot worse, George, if we'd have lost that one through Peter Crouch.
Of course it would, but it didn't feel particularly good, did it?
It just felt, you know, and it was important to not just win a point, but deny Stoke 2 points as well. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to come back to both of you later, but let's move on to Late Boy. And I'll start with, when I was sitting up with you,
use is plural, more than one. You just sat with me. So well, it's you.
Yeah. All right. Use and your mates that you've given all the Wi-Fi
again,
it's code.
You and
to,
your mates. Yeah. The whole, use is plural. Yeah, use is to three. There's three of you. When you're talking about me, it's you.
Oh, dear.
Well, I've got to educate you on grammar now.
Anyway, you said that Crouch would come on. When he came on, you went, I bet he scores.
Yeah, I did say that.
And he
did.
So, your view from the gods, Nige. Yeah.
Same as usual. Right, it was a poor game, wasn't it? Two poor teams.
I mean, yeah.
Luckily, after Crouch scored, I backed the draw at 4-1. Oh, 20 quid.
Did you?
I've got 80 quid.
Did you get a signal?
Yeah, how'd you get a signal?
Well, that's magic. that's a trade secret. Apparently, a few people do know the trade secret.
Yeah.
Apparently.
You've told the whole bloody block.
A few close chums. Anyway, so yeah, I got a signal and I got my bet on. And I even survived the heart attack of us scoring again. Unluckily for it to be disallowed.
Yeah, we did stand up a few times.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was possibly a fair result. But, you know, what do we expect? You know, we're down the bottom for a reason. Stoke are down the bottom for a reason. That's the down the bottom game of football, isn't it, at the end of the day? That's what we were served up. You never get entertainment West Ham and Stoke, realistically, do you?
No. So I'm gonna put my 10 pence in, and I think
your 10 pence.
10 pence.
Penneth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penneth in. And that is, you know, what we said. You know, we're playing Stoke, 19th place Stoke that haven't scored, and yet Moyes sets up a 5-4-1. And Arnautović is isolated. This is the kind of tactics we'd expect away from home at the Emirates for next week and not against home at Stoke.
Yep.
And that's what, you know, how many times I think, certainly not John or George, I can't remember, or both of them have said, we want to see Hernandez and Arnautović start. That was a perfect game to start them both.
It was.
And yet he didn't. But the real frustration for me was, you know, Fernandes was having an awful game. Chiarty was having an awful game. I'm trying to think who else was having an awful game. But those two stood out as really poor performing. But yet, he waited to 76 minutes to bring on Hernandes, 81 minutes to bring on Lanzini, and 86 minutes to bring on Carroll. And it's just too little too late, you know? He sort of waited.
Not because Carroll scored.
Well, all right, but could we have won it if he'd have changed it? It was like everyone else could see what was going on. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing. It's those tactics that make people not want him next season. And, of course, it wouldn't be anything without a Clarendon Hugh poll, would it? So today, this morning, on the back of that, I did a Clarendon Hugh poll, and 1,322 people have taken part in that poll today. Should Moyes be offered a new contract? What do you reckon the percentage split is, John?
Oh, I'm really not interested, Sean, but please do tell us. Go on.
So 61% want him to get a new contract, said to be a 1 or 2 year contract. And obviously that means nearly 39% don't want him to contract. Normal West Ham, completely split. Let me ask you, boys, on the basis of last night and this season with Moyes in charge, let's start with you, Nigel. Moyes be offered a new contract in the summer automatically? Yes or no?
No.
George?
No, it's not an exciting prospect for me, to be honest. And he proved that last night.
John?
I wouldn't, but I don't think we've got a choice. I think given our ownership and the way they operate, they will just leave him in place. They see it as a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, you know, which is why I'm surprised. I'm a little bit surprised that 61% back him.
I was just so disappointed. Last night, if he'd have set up positive attacking, if he was brave and had a go, we could be sat here now. We might have lost. But we nearly lost anyway, didn't we?
And that game.
So if we'd have won that, the whole place would have had a different attitude if there was an attacking force. If they'd have come out like they'd come out against Southampton, that place would have been rocking last night under the lights at the London Stadium.
I'm going to try and stun you into silence because I'm going to tell you what Moyes said to the reporters after the game. And I've just put a story up McLaren Hugh tonight on this because I've read a transcript. Moyes told the reporters, right, I thought the commitment from the players, the energy to make sure that that didn't happen showed on late, but they played through the ball and it was one of the better performances I have seen since I have been there. And apparently there was deadly silence in the press room. And he said, some of you were surprised by that and apparently complete silence. So let me just repeat that. Moy said post-match that was one of the better West Ham performance he has seen since he's been there. Is he deluded, Nigel?
Fucking idiot. I mean, the thing I'd say is we've been shit in the past, but what happened used to be is the reason why other people liked us because we were entertainingly shit. Under Allardyce and now what we're getting under Moyes is not entertainment. So you don't mind a 1-0 draw with Stoke if you batter the life out of them and their keeper's man of the match. But when you serve that up, when it's a poor Stoke team, as you said, and he still plays no strikers at home, you know.
Yeah.
They'd only got something like 2 points away from home
all season. That's what I'm saying. You know,
not scored, not won a game since October away from home.
Scored 7 goals this calendar year.
And they were 3 minutes away from beating us.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just it doesn't comprehend. Back it would do if we were struggling. But we'd had an upturn. We really genuinely were after the Southampton game, and at Chelsea performance, we were on an upturn. Just have a go. Just go for it. It just put me on a sort of, and I'm sure it had an effect last night on the whole place. I'm sure. You know, everyone.
I can't believe he said that. I didn't know he said that. That's the first I've heard of it. And I'm thinking, did he watch the same game?
Yeah, well, that's what I couldn't believe it when I read the transcript. I thought, really?
That sounds like Allardyce, doesn't it? That sounds the sort of thing that Allardyce would come out with.
Yeah. Who was your man of the match, boys? Let's start with you, John. Who was your man of the match? We talked about this on the way.
Declan Rice.
Not you. Yeah. George?
Me too. Deck, big Deck, continues to impress me.
He's so composed.
You said Andy Carroll in on
no,
the
that
train.
Was the other George.
Oh, okay.
Composed on the ball, he's showing everything that he's like. Hopefully, he can produce in the future. He's a great player.
Nigel,
Joe Hart.
on the BBC, you know, they gave it to Aaron Cresswell.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, he took a couple of free kicks, didn't he? We had loads of free kicks. And
I'll tell you what, Dimitri Payet would have filled his boats.
Yeah, that's what I said last night when I was watching it. Yeah. It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
But before we signed Payet, I remember Creswell He got one cracker free kick. He might have got another one. And he didn't take after free kicks. And you're thinking, well, before Payet turned up, he was like our free kick taker. So why don't you do it now?
He had the first one, didn't he? And he skied it.
Yeah, but he didn't have the others, did he?
He had one that Chris, was it Battle and Save? That was him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But what's his name? Lanzini. I mean, I don't know what his injury was, really. But he
had a
chip on his shoulder.
Menial cartilage.
Well, that was it.
Yeah.
But he sort of takes quite a lot of free kicks, and he never really does very good.
I don't think he was fully fit. Anyway, let me give you a stat attack. Even though the negative, we did enjoy 63% of the possession, with them having obviously 37, because that's how it works. We had 18 shots, 6 on target. Guess what? They had 11 shots, but 7 on target. They had more shots on target, that means. That's what it means when I say 7-6. We should do better. And it really worries. Was it you, George, that said to me, can't see where the next any more wins are going to come for the rest of the season?
Was it you or Murphy?
That?
It's the thing that we're talking about, you know, we rescued a point and whatever, but is it going to be enough? If we'd have lost last night, we would have to be having a serious conversation about relegation, wouldn't we?
Mm. I'll tell you what saved us, Southampton getting beat by Chelsea.
Yeah, probably did. Probably
that
did.
Kept us up.
Talking about a little bit of spice, one thing I did, we should say that in the second half, I decided to climb the mountain that is the steps to the upper tier. And 10 minutes later, I got there out of breath to Rove 62 where Nigel sits. And I sat for about 30 minutes with Nigel up in the gods. And George joined us for about, 15 minutes? George?
Yeah, 10 minutes or so. It took me a while to get up there as well.
Yeah, you were out of breath as well, weren't you? And then you have to acclimatise, right, to the altitude slightly. You feel a little bit altitude sickness. I don't know. I'll be honest with you, Nigel. I couldn't get used to that. I know it's half price, but I don't think I could get used to it.
Well, that's a bonus, though, isn't it, Nigel? That means he's not coming.
I don't know what, after sitting there next to me yesterday, you know, I don't think I'm gutted. I'm having a meerkat next to you.
Yeah.
You don't watch the game.
No.
Yeah. Well, there was some trouble. It went off in block 11.
Corporate
in block 110. And that's the only thing. You could see the whole ground. You see all the trouble going off, and response team was sent up, and they were having a right go at it, weren't they, in 110?
Yeah.
But you were watching the match, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, George, what was your view of...
was my view of the view?
2-1. What was your view of the view? Could you see yourself there?
It would take some getting used to, for sure. It feels like a completely different experience. I think we said it was a bit surreal, didn't we? I'm not sure I could get used to it, to be honest. And it is a long way up. And I think, Sean...
It's a long way for the beers as well. If you wanted to go down for a beer...
That we said sort of one thing that would cause problems.
Now you know why I didn't join the demo. It was too far to get down.
Yeah, it is a bit much. Yeah. It is a bit much.
Yeah, by the time you get out of there, it'd be over.
I'll tell you why I think you find it different. And it stems back to... Use at the bowling were lower tier.
Yeah.
I was upper tier.
We weren't always, though.
As a kid,
we tried.
My first season ticket, so I sat west upper till I was 14. Then I went North Bank. Then for the last 10 years or 12 years at the bowling, I sat Trevor Brooking upper. So... I've always been upstairs with the perception of the pitch and the view. I never liked it down at the front because it was like, especially when you was level with the player's feet, when you was right at the front. I had one season at the front in the corner of the west, the first season the west end opened, and didn't like it in that corner down at the front. So I went back upstairs. So I'm used to the upstairs view. Now that's a lot further back, but I'm used to upstairs view. You boys have gone from pitch side to, like, you know, at top of Everest in one go, where I've actually done the foothills first.
Well, so John and George had a seat, which I occasionally went to in Bobbymore Upper. I had a very, very back seat, half a season ticket in Trevor Brooking, or Centenary, as it was, right by in the family section a long time ago, before we settled in Sir Trevor Brooking Lower. Well, I mean, how long were we in Chav Corner for? Was it about 7 years? Yeah. Last seven years, 6 years?
2009, I think.
I mean, your seats up at Bobbymore Upper were quite high up, weren't they?
They were, yeah. We got those 2005, I think.
And didn't we once go to the top of... Do you remember, for a cup game, we went to the top of the West Stand once, John?
Yeah.
That
was for Man United in the cup quarter final.
Oh, it was. Yeah, that was, wasn't it? That was a bit of a nosebleed.
That was higher. You could actually see the 406 in the distance. I remember the first time I sat at the top West Stand, when we got relegated, I bought a season ticket upstairs in 2003. I bought a season ticket upstairs in the far corner because it was the cheapest season ticket, me and my nephew. And then we used to walk to the middle because it was half empty. And we used to sit up in the middle, but up towards the back where the gantry was. And the first time we sat there, it was like, fucking hell, you can see on the shit game, you could see, we would watch the traffic on the 406 in the distance. But
yeah, that was still quite high.
You know, the problem I find is where I'm halfway back. If you think there's like another 15 rows and I'm level with the floodlights, I don't know what if I could sit further back.
Yeah. Anyway, well, it's not good point
podcast,
to get,
is it?
Yeah, you could, good link to plug the film that you were plugging at the Supporters Club, since we're talking about the bowling ground and Upton Park.
Oh, yeah. Away from home.
You're brilliant at plugs. What you should say is, East what? 15, brilliant new film, made me cry. It's available on Vimeo and Amazon, out now at all good stockists. That's the kind of plug.
Available on iTunes. It's available now to own iTunes or to rent, but it's better owning it because I think it's only another quid to own it than it is to rent it.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away from home, documentary made by two West Ham fans about they followed five West Ham fans before the move and then spoke to them as we moved and then after the move and the trials and tribulations of, and it brought home to many of them how we were so misled. And one thing I did used to say a lot is the truth will be when people see for themselves. People were upset because they were sold a dream. A lot of people, some believed it, some didn't. But when they got over there and see it for themselves, what I complained about for years, and then the reality sinks in.
There you go.
But it's good. Yeah, I must admit, the first time I watched it, I had a special preview screening for it come out.
Because you're one of special nights.
It choked me up.
Yeah.
There you go. See? And
there you go.
Yeah.
All right, now you've overdone it, right? So you did a small plug, and now you're overdoing it.
Oh, fucking hell. But don't forget the interview. There's a special interview on the More Than Just a Podcast. What'd you call it? It's not a website.
It's a Facebook group.
No, I know that, but what about if you go on like Acast? What do you call that? If you go portal. More than just
a portal. A podcast portal.
You go more than just a podcast.com. Scroll down and see a special interview with one of the
Don't worry.
He's trying.
Fuck you, do it then.
Just go to www.morethanjustapodcast.co.uk.
You're such a snowflake.
Oh dear.
Anyway, let's get back to football and talk about Andy Carroll. Andy Carroll came off the bench, scored a goal in 4 minutes, came on 86 minutes, scored on 90, looked a handful. Of course, that means tonight we're running another Clarence Hume poll. Should he stay or should he go? 54% saying he should be sold in the summer if an offer comes in. Nearly 46% saying no, he shouldn't. Nigel, he proves invaluable. He scored 3 goals in 3 games. He's only played 15 games this season. After last night, would you still sell him if an offer came in, or would you keep him for his last season, Nigel?
I'd be tempted to keep him purely because I think he does have that ability to do things. I'd use him as an impact sub. I'd try and do a deal with him, perhaps cut his wages, but kick on the goal bonus. And then see if we can get 3/4 of a season fit out of him. And another reason is that we can't strengthen everywhere. We ain't going to have the money. Mm. You know, we're going to need another striker. Hernandez looks like he's going to go. Yeah. If you lose Carroll, MLS. What does that leave you with?
MLS, he might be going to Washington. He's going out on loan.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So the 3 or 4 strikers we got, apparently, we get rid of all of them?
No.
But then what about the central defenders we're going to need? Yeah. What about the central midfielders we're going to need? What about the goalkeepers we're going to need?
We're straying away from the question.
So I'll keep them. That's what I said.
John!
Fucking hell.
You're very sweary tonight, Nigel. We're going to have to put some lizard on this one.
Go on, John.
I have to put on everyone.
Short run.
Short answer, get rid of him.
Yeah. George.
I don't think anyone's going to want him, to be honest. And I think, if he can stay fit, he owes us some time, so keep hold of him. Plus, he's going to be England's saviour in Russia this summer, so everyone...
Yeah, I think keep him, what's 90 or 85 grand a week nowadays when we're paying Joe Hart 125 and Hernandez to sit on the bench 140? I say keep him for his last year and see where we go from that. I wouldn't offer him a new contract. Right, the last thing on the game, and this is an interesting one, and you'll see if you see my Twitter feed, you'll see a lovely picture of George's thumb holding a flyer. As we came out, we were given a flyer. Have you, Nigel or John, seen this flyer that George picked up?
No.
So this guy's given them out to hundreds of people as they leave the London Stadium. It says, "The London Stadium, a solution for all partners, in brackets, MB. Shareholders, ratepayers receive an annual return. Supporters, an investment in their new home. A legal say in the running of the club. West Ham owners, an increased turnover. They can fulfil our dreams and their promises made to all. To the powers that be, a palatable solution, in brackets, MB. PS, relevant partners become shareholders." And that's what it says.
What, all that on a flyer?
Yeah.
What does it actually
mean? No one knows. It's some insider secret code. We don't know. No one knows what it means. This flyer printed hundreds of them off and he was giving them to the crowd. And it's gibberish.
Did you do it?
Can you understand? You talk East End. What does it mean, Nigel?
I don't know. Perhaps.
I'll tell you what, we're going to put this photo, including George's thumb, on the Facebook group. which is more than facebook.com, more than just a podcast. And we're asking our listeners to see if they can decipher it too, which is a great link, isn't it, George?
Is it Twitter question time?
It is.
We do suffer from a bit of inconsistency on our Facebook Twitter question time jingles, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
It's Facebook Twitter question time. It's when we ask you, the listener, to get in touch with us, the podcast. Sean, I think you put up earlier. You did. Podding tonight after last night's draw. What do you think of Moyes' tactics? He described the game as one of the better performances under him. Should he be offered a new contract? Send in you questions. Statements of fact.
It should have been use questions.
Out before 8:30 tonight. Laters. God, we got loads of comments.
Haven't we?
More popular.
And I only did it an hour and a half ago.
14 comments.
Jeez. And we've got some Twitter questions.
Got eight listeners.
Palumi says, I think yeah, Chick should have been playing more and not a sub. If that means getting rid of Moyes next year. So he stays, that's fine with me. Hopefully we gain safety soon so we can play the young players more and see if Hugo is anything. We just said Hugo's going anyway. So
great signing, though.
Danon Cracknell says, Moyes is not for me. To start so negatively at home to such a poor side is not something I'm interested in watching. I agree with that. Scott Beek says, I really hope we do not keep Moyes for next season. I know the team has seriously struggled with injuries, but he hardly has a better record than Bilic's last 20 games in charge. Plus, so many times his awful decisions and tactics have been forgotten because of the mess with the owners and other things. He continues to go on about how he's unhappy with Moyes. Scott wants Moyes out. Jeffrey Smith says, far too negative against worst defence in the division. Hernandez had to start last night. Moyes has to have some kind of personal grudge. Didn't he keep him on the bench at Man United? Yeah, that point was raised when he joined, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Paul Sanders says, what's with the £2 fee for renewing my season ticket? I know it's only £2, but where did this come from? And it's the
goes to Ticketmaster.
Essentially, they've raised my frozen season ticket.
So that money doesn't go to the club. It goes to Ticketmaster as their cut. So the club doesn't pay Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster takes the booking fee for running the renewal process. That's their cut.
He says that it's more expensive to go for the 4-month rather than the 10-month payment plan. Is that deliberate?
It's more expensive to go for the
4-month payment plan rather than the 10-month.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked into that. Maybe it's a two different providers. I knew they were bringing some other lender in. So I don't know. I'd have to look into that.
Nick Harvey says, Moyes' tactics cost us 3 points in my view. One up front in a game that had we won, could have seen us safe. Yeah, a lot of common themes here. And he says, the Baroness's new TV programme, Give Me Strength. Who's going to pay that much for mugs? Well, she knows better than anyone what the answer is. Sullivan.
Give it a year, though.
Ed Hawthorne says, Moyes has gotten the best out of Arnie by having the foresight to see his strengths and let him roam free up top. He has also had the foresight to play Masuaku's strengths and play him as an attacker rather than left back. He's also progressed and played Rice and Ogbonna. Does he still have work to do? Absolutely, but he's cooking dinner with someone else's groceries. Let him buy and sell over the summer to build his own squad. Positive. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, balanced. That's a different point of view and quite a good point of views.
Matthew Kemp says, slightly disappointed that Hernandez didn't start or come on a bit earlier, sorry. Understand why Lanzini and Carroll were brought on late due to recovery from injuries. I think a strike force of Arnie and Hernandez needs to be given a chance. I agree. Dan Kitchen says, Declan Rice, that is all.
Yeah.
Tom Boylan says, if Benitez is the ideal choice, what do you think of the chances?
So people seem to forget that Benitez is quite, you know, he's a bit sort of Mourinho-ish, really. He's a bit negative. So you're not going to get all attacking flair football from Mourinho if Benitez comes in.
You get more than Moyes, though, wouldn't you?
You'd probably get more results. don't know about style of football. He would probably want some proper backing as well, wouldn't he?
He will attract a better class of footballer, though.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
So, therefore, you would hope it would be more entertaining, the fact that we've got better footballers. Will he come, though? But if he's done so well at Newcastle, is he going to walk out on that? Ashley's leaving him alone.
But if they were to get him away from them, they'd have to deliver, wouldn't they, as well? And they're not. That's, everyone seems to forget in all of this. Their ownership's still the same. We've still got Karen Brady, nothing's going to change. It's just, you know, it's all forgotten for now, but nothing's going to change.
Richard Dodds.
Oh, did nothing happen after the protest then? I thought it all changed. We've got the flags.
We've got some flags running around the pitch at half time in the beginning. Yeah.
Don't forget the flags.
Richard Dodds asks what our views on Karen Brady tweeting at 7:30 on a Monday night before a massive game for West Ham is.
She should get sacked. She should get sacked. She should be removed from her position.
Harsh.
Why don't you bike it, you bag?
Oh, I'm going to stick up for her.
Oh, here we go. You're going to win a Lenny Sick Fan of the Year. Go on.
No, I'm not. I'm not just going to say, right? She works part-time for the club. She's got other interests. It just happened to be there was a clash. She wasn't at ITV on Twitter answering questions for the programme. She was sat there with her daughter in the director's box tweeting people at home to watch her programme instead of watching West Ham play Stoke. Slight conflict of interest, I know, but hey.
Chris Hitchcock says, in my opinion, we should stick with Moyes and be grateful. He's a good manager and has almost kept us up after what's been a pretty awful year. Ed Hughes says Brendan Rodgers for me. I think I'd like Brendan Rodgers.
Really?
But I mean, who's going to come to work for Sullivan?
No one.
I mean, it's
no one.
Reality.
Yeah, reality check.
Remember, Moyes is the best manager they've ever appointed.
You've said that more than once.
Yeah. Ian McGregor says, are
That's
we
what I said, remember. Sorry.
Going to keep Moyes? Wow, our owners have zero ambition. Gary Prince says, it was so negative against a team, one off the bottom. It's ridiculous to have Hernandez and Lanzini coming on so late. They're not going to stick around if he doesn't play them. I agree with that. Over to Twitter, Nigel. This is your moment to shine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we've had lots of tweets today. So thank you, everyone, tweeting. And this is what in the game they called filling as I load up Twitter. So
weren't prepared for that.
No, I wasn't. I thought Jones was doing it.
By the way, while we're waiting, I thought we were going to talk about the Lennies. You were going to talk about the Lennies. You were telling me last night about Canning and Len are doing the Lennies. Yeah, you said if you can come up some idea for the Lennies, he's looking for ideas. Well, Canning Town.
He's tweeted it out today. If you look,
Is he? Right,
tweeted it out today. Get your categories in for the Lennies, the end of season what awards, West Ham awards.
We used to do more than just a podcast awards. Do you remember? Well, you remember because you got lost out as listener of the season.
He gave it to some yank. Over me. I keep reminding him of that as well.
Got it. His certificate, he told me.
What, you give him a certificate?
Yeah.
You get a certificate if you win. Jealous. Could be on the wall in your shed, Nige.
Right.
We also gave the KUMB podcast a certificate.
For being the best West Ham podcast.
Hilarious.
Well, they're not in the running. I mean, who's in the running now for best West Ham podcast?
More than just a club podcast.
I forgot about that one. Yeah.
It got to be the American podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. Theme tune.
Who messaged us?
Just for the theme tune alone. That's a great theme tune, lads. Very West Ham.
Yeah. Right, come on, anyway. Get on with it.
We need to beg some people to vote for us for something else, haven't we?
We should definitely.
I reckon I tweeted Lent today and said, sycophant of the year. And I think, Sean, you could win that.
No, there's more people that are far more.
Well, it's between you and Dave Walker. Oh, no.
No, you can't say that.
What about protest of the year? Is he going to do one of them?
You
could do that. That would make a great award.
Campaign of the year.
I think committee of the year. Because when we go to the supporters club, we love committees, don't we?
Yeah, there's not enough.
There should be another committee.
Splitters of the year.
Splitters. Anyway, right, come on.
Best demonstration of the year.
Disappointment of the year. Is it the squad itself, the ownership, etc.? There's one.
The march.
Yeah, that can be one.
Best march of the year.
Anyway, get on with your bloody questions.
Come on, Nige.
Right, Mark, Cockney Bone. A last-minute goal from a last-minute sub to draw level and save our asses against a PL side who can't score, and that was one of the better performances under him. In capitals, which I think's like to highlight it, God help us if he stays next season. Boring negative football makes Fat Sam style look exciting. I'm not sure it makes Fat Sam style look exciting, but I get the sentiment there. Next up is Jim Salverson. I think some of the criticism has been extreme. I'm going to stop reading there, Jim. Sorry. Because he was defending. I'm not having that. Tactics. Iron Mike, WHU. Tactics. Lumping the ball up to the lone striker at home against the team that West Ham dominated away. Yeah, I'll read that one out. I'm not reading Ichinamar 1895 in our position. He says, I'm quite happy. Fuck off, mate. Matthew,
I love it how he just picked. I don't like
two lane games ago. We almost had a riot in the stands. I'm not saying it's mob rule, but some fans, he's too positive. You can do one. Hold up, let's just see the some fans. No 2-year extension for Moyes. He's saying with those tactics, we'll set them off again, mate. I don't know if you're doing well there or not. Keep that one, actually. Wobbly knee, not a good name. Dodgy patella. Last night was Portman Moyes. Fernandez off first. Big O in the midfield to run through. Mark Vickers probably would have these. Carroll, Hernandez. Or who would have these? Carroll or Hernandez? Who should be managing us next season? Why does a barrier need to be in the concourse stopping me from having a beer with my cousin? I don't know, mate.
No one knows.
It's them coin throwers.
Because it's the London Stadium, mate. It's what happens. I change.
Ask the bloke with the flyer. He might be able to tell you. Iron Mike. Chris Taylor's then gone to Iron Mike. Who would you want to be manager that is available and take the job? Snowy. Far too negative. One striker at home to the team 19th in the table is not good enough. Well said, mate. Tony Knight, Moyes' tactics is just so negative. No strikers on the pitch against worst team. James Collett, no, stop this bollocks now. That's the best tweet tonight.
Was that our podcast? Yeah,
I don't know. Either that or this tweet.
Well, it could have been. Or it could have been. He could have been listening to other podcasts. I don't know. Trevor Gillies. I'm guessing that's how you say your name. Gillies. Who was your man in the match? I would say Noble. He worked hard in defence, had a few nice long passes upfield that almost made the difference. I don't know what it made the difference to, Trevor, to be fair. Not for me. I might come back again. Here we go. Ooh, we've had a little Twitter spat on our fitness, what we like. I might have said, maybe that's because the only way he's been playing at the moment, the little fella should have started yesterday. I don't really see how that isn't consensus. Fernandez with a Z isn't an attacker.
Well done, Nigel.
There you go,
that's
chaps.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot for popular. Twitter.
I think, I'll tell you what, Nigel, you should do it every week, Twitter.
We don't normally get that many. Like that. And I'm not normally in this good mood.
What are you, is this... What?
Move on, Sean.
Dear oh Lord.
Anyway, I think we're pretty much done there. What have we got next?
Arsenal.
We've got
Arsenal away. Come
on. Arsenal away, haven't we? We've got two games, and we just got one before next Monday. It's on Sunday, isn't it?
I've got no more games until the last game of the season because of the power of television and the way it gets moved so much. I've got other things booked in for when the games have been rescheduled. So my next home game is Everton.
Yeah,
which is a Sunday.
Which is
a bloody Sunday.
I'm taking my girlfriend both of those, so it can be date night. So that's thank you for that.
I bet you're all glad out that's happened, didn't you, gents? You can all
at least I know won't be coming up to see me. There's
date nights. You can all go and join in on his date nights. Date night.
Anyway, Arsenal have a game 3 days later, European game. So they might rest their boys. They might be able to, we might be able to, it's a free hit. We might be able to tuck them up. What do you reckon?
Lose 1-0.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lose 2-0.
Lose 3-0.
And I'm going to say
1-0 win.
1-0 win.
Mug.
Anyway,
what's happening when Arnautovic in the last two or three games has had that? As soon as something goes against him, he starts trolling around as if he's injured, doesn't he? You notice that?
Arnautovic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that. He did that last night as well.
He did it last night as well. Yeah. He went in for a tackle and started hopping around like he's just. And genuinely, if he'd have read more about him when Fernandes scored that goal, instead of just walking out, he didn't have much energy about him last night. So he probably could do with a rest, I reckon, for Arsenal.
You reckon?
Sit him down. But then what are you saving him for? City? Man United? Where are the next points coming from? Is the question.
Yeah, well, you tell me.
No, I asked you.
Everyone.
Do you reckon? I'd love to beat Sam. There's your bloody bubbles.
a bit of retro for you. Just found Shoot Annual 1974 in a bag. I must have bought it recently. I didn't realise. Who was the midfield star nobody wanted in 1974, according to Shoot?
No idea.
Trevor Brooking.
That's
what it says.
We all become a non-executive director over the summer, I'm sure.
Oh, and the fan on the board, probably.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it? That's sort of all out.
Apparently, I didn't know this. A real loss of form led to West Ham putting him on the transfer list for $80,000 in Christmas 1971.
Mm. Could have all
story
been so different.
Trevor Brooking, haven't you? You allowed to say it?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
About the bond scheme.
No.
Come on, tell the story.
No. No.
Why won't you tell the story?
Oh.
Will you tell the story one day?
One day.
Ah, you know, do you see, that's not fair to our listeners now.
It's not fair to listeners
because
you opened your big mouth. So shut up.
What, you're going to wait till he dies before telling the story or something?
I might write a book.
See, now everybody wants to know what the story is.
I think that's enough now, Sean.
Yeah. Anyway, it's goodbye.
It's going to end up winding Nigel up.
Go on, Nigel.
Well, where are we getting the next points from?
Yeah.
Everton.
I really don't want to be going to Everton as the last game having a win. That's going to be a nightmare, isn't it?
Man City, they'd have won the title. We'll smash them 6-0.
Easy.
One up front as well.
Hugel.
Yeah.
All right. We can't see it, so cool.
Good.
Let's finish.
So Leicester. Let's just have a see if I can play this. Little surprise.
No joy at the football blogging awards this year. Realise you aren't as popular as you thought you were. Well, have we got something for you, kids? More the same disappointment. No. A chance to feel like a winner. In the inaugural Lenny's 2018. Let us know your categories and nominations of who you want to see walk off with the coveted Lenny. It can be a channel, a vlogger, or just someone who gets on your tits across social media. Don't take yourself so seriously.
Oh, Sean, you're shooing, mate.
Seriously, do join us soon for the Lenny's 2018. And remember, don't blame us. We're only saying what's out there.
Sean, you're gonna get inundated with awards.
Should we put ourselves up for Lenny?
I'll tell you who will, you know, apart from certain person, I won't name.
Yeah.
That prick on Amaranth Talk, oh my life. I'm going to put him up for Historian of the Year, West Ham Historian of the Year, just for saying we won the FA Cup in 1986.
All right. And on that, we're going to say goodbye. It's goodbye from Nigel.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from John.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from George.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me trying to play the right outro. Goodbye.
Hey.
Bobby Moore.
Come on, you iron!
Bobby Moore.
More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.